Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ja, it's interesting when you turn that on, that one off.
I don't think that's happened.
You don't think there's a connection?
No.
That was a connection because they were thinking of enjoying the fan finally.
Oh, okay.
That's on me.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, fine. Took forever, but finally. But you can, if you like, prefer this spot, then you can always tell them that, well, actually, husband and wife, the wife sits to the left.
Oh. Yeah.
So then you get the spot, and he has to sit on that spot.
Or he'll move that. So
he suffers more, I guess.
Hmm?
So he suffers more.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, yes, so Jiva Doya.
Yes.
Yes.
Easier to let him enjoy them.
Okay.
Reap the consequences.
In the long run, then it's. Oh, I see. Okay. I said, works both ways. Everybody benefits. Okay. Bhakti Sandarbha Adhyayana Ran Adhikarna 1, description of the Bhakti Yoga process. Okay. This paragraph, take 3.
Maybe we can go backwards 2 paragraphs.
Yes.
Probably.
No. Let's see. Thus, apavarga means that which produces bhakti. Artaya means for producing results. Right? So you're trying to produce results. So what are those results? That's apavarga. But apavarga is that which produces bhakti. Right? So in other words, that the apavarga when we talk about means not pavarga. Right? Pavarga means means you have the pa varga. Right? Pa pa ba ba ma. Right? And so those represent all the different difficulties in the material world. You know, the illusion, working hard like an animal, foaming at the mouth, all these different things, and then eventually, ma, dying. So, apavarga is generally taken as liberation. But liberation actually means what bhakti. Bhakti is the only actual liberation, because the jiva, being part and parcel of the God, then you can't have another liberation other than that. The natural relation with God is in devotion. So you can't have a position of liberation that's not like that. Does that make sense? Let us just say you have, the high security prison, right? So all the, biggest criminals are in that area. But somehow or another, by good behavior, you get yourself moved to a low security prison. You know, there's less people, they don't bother you every time. They don't take the bun off of your plate. Stuff like that. So you don't have to worry about sharpened toothbrushes. All that. It's just that, these guys are all there because they cheated on their taxes or, stuff like that. Because generally around those places they have, cyclone fences. Cyclone, the kind of fences, wire fences with the holes in it, means you technically could climb over it, but they don't because, if you sit in a chair all day and just figure out how to cheat on your taxes, you generally don't have the physical energy to climb over those fences. And anyway, there is a guard there who'll tell you, hey, no, don't do that. So then you'll figure this is liberation. You're away from all that heavy, but you're still in prison. Right? So even if you get yourself to Mahakalapura, and there, and then you're merged in Brahman, supposedly, you know, quote unquote, merged in Brahman, you're still not merged in Brahman because you're an individual living entity. But everything's white, you're white, everything's, you know, like that. And so then that brightness that's there, then it has that feeling. So then you come back. So it's not actually, it's just what people here call. Just like you say, oh, if I become rich, then I will be happy. Or if I become famous or powerful or knowledgeable or like this, I'll be happy. But nobody becomes happy, right? It's only removing a pain. And to become rich means you have to go through the pain of not being rich, you know, working and getting there. Or powerful, you have to go through the weakness until you get there and all the trouble. So you're attaining something that it's a position. Right? The jiva sat chit ananda. Right? So you can't say sat is ananda. No, sat is sat, chit is chit, ananda is ananda. So we're saying the position of being rich, which is the position within sat, is ananda. I'll be happy when I get that position. But no, it's only when it's ananda, when you're interacting with Krishna. When you, as Ananda, are interacting with Ananda on the platform of Ananda, then it has meaning. So bhakti is that position of Ananda. When you engage in your activities and knowledge in pleasure of the Lord, that combination, your individuality is being used like that. That's the only place you can get Ananda. And that's the only place where you will stay, because you only go to places where you get happiness. Or at least the idea that you could get happiness. Even if you're not, there's the possibility. So in other words, we only do things that have the possibility of giving happiness or give an experience that, you know, we feel is better than what was before. We don't work for anything else. You know, even if you say, oh no, but he does it for duty, he gets a taste out of duty. That's the whole point of Ramslila, Maryada. It's the taste of doing your duty. You know, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he does his duty. There's a taste there. People still read Mahabharata after 5,000 years. Right? Because of the taste of doing his duty and the benefits it gets. Maybe there's trouble, but ultimately, you know, he wins. You know, so that's what's going on. So apavarga means to give up. It has to be that which produces bhakti. Because you can only get beyond the material by tasting what's beyond. And so then, artaya, for producing results, the real arta is attaining bhakti. So those things, those secondary religious things that support the development of bhakti, then those are the things that you're using, engaging. But the point is it's bhakti. Because without bhakti, what's the point? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, you want to make money, right? So you use those techniques that get you money. But those techniques only have a value because of the desire for money. Otherwise, they don't have any importance to you. You can't separate. They're secondary, so you can't say, so it's like Krishna's energy. They're non-different, but they're different. You have to know which is which. Right? So that's the thing, is the material, it can't get you spiritual. But if it's in the right attitude engaged, because that's the inherent nature of the jiva, that's why the material is created, it gets you bhakti. But not on its own. That's why sometimes it says, karma jnana can't get you bhakti. In other places it's saying, through karma and jnana, it produces bhakti. But that's only when you add bhakti, then you get bhakti. Like milk doesn't make yogurt. You add yogurt, then the whole thing turns into yogurt. So the milk becomes the medium for the yogurt. But it's only if you put yogurt, it becomes yogurt. Right? So it's very important, this aspect, to actually have this vision that this is what is reality. The other things are seen in that context. So that's how you can have someone like the gopis, you know, who are not scholars, But because they're convinced of this, they see things as they are. All the details, it's obvious that they match. They may not talk about those details, but they'll talk about the essence. And then if need be, they can expand on the detail. But the point is, you know this. You know what I'm saying? So this approach that, you know, means that your standard material approach is by studying knowledge, you gain knowledge. No, but it's by studying knowledge of the Lord in connection with pleasing the Lord through bhakti, that then actually the essence of knowledge is revealed, then you know everything. Anything else, you could see it in that context. But if you're only with details, you can't see how details connect to details. You work in an area for a while, get some knowledge, understanding, you work more practically, you know, then it becomes a science, then you get some vigyan. But here, you have Krishna, you have the vigyan. Then, other things, you can see how they connect. But if you have Krishna, they only have an importance to you in as much as they assist you in your service to Krishna. So when Krishna says, better to do your own duty, you know, we have the side is, if you don't do your duty, you do someone else's, there'll be some lack somewhere. Either you don't know the skill, you know, or you don't know the mentality. Because if you knew both and could do it, it would be your duty. But since one or the other or both are missing, that's why it's not your duty. So we're looking at it for efficiency here. Right, you know, just the whole social interaction works very nice and is progressive. But the spiritual platform is your duty is that servant of Krishna. If you're a servant of Krishna, then you are only going to do those activities because you're trying to please yourself, Krishna, through that. So therefore, those things of which you, with your nature, can please Krishna, those are the things you do. Right? It wouldn't please Krishna for Mother Yashoda to come out with the cowherd boys. You know? It would not, because then nobody can relax. Right? They can't be crazy. You know? Somebody says, you know, they're running along and rolling the bale fruit. It's kind of, why are you rolling bale fruit? We can make juice out of that. You know, go yell in the rel. Why are you wasting your time? Yes, so loud and making so much noise and disturbance. And, you know? Does that make sense? You know, making faces at the monkey, that's dangerous, don't do that, step back. Would anything work? No, that rasa is like finished. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, she doesn't go out because that's not where she can show her affection for Krishna that's pleasing to Krishna. Because it's not about her, it's about Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Just like the cowherd boys are with Krishna, but when their mother just showed his house, they mind, you know, their behavior. Because this is Mother Yashoda's field. And because, you know, Krishna's her son, and they're also sons of her friends, who are also Sini Gopi have that, then it can work. They can be there. And be pleasant and all that. You know, they can have a nice relationship. You know, Madhu Mangal can always take it a little farther and goof on everything. But, because he's a Brahmin and he's really smart, so what he says is always interesting. Like Prabhupada said about the Chutananda Maharaj, that he would make constantly making jokes. So even in Mangalarti, Guru Puja, whoever's next to him, he's telling jokes. He sees some, he's joking on it and this and the other devotees, you know, trying to be really serious, you know, and trying to be Krishna conscious, and this guy's just goofing on everything. So they went to Prabhupada. A bunch of them, and said, you know, this is Chutananda Maharaj. You know, he just always goofs on everything. We're trying to be serious. And I'm like, oh, he's intelligent. He says, you have to be intelligent to make other people laugh. You know? So that Madhu Mangal, he's smart. He makes everybody laugh. It's funny. And he's a kid, you know, so he can say things, you know, because, you know, once Prabhupada said, a kid can say everything, anything, and an old man can. A child can say anything and an old man can do anything. Yeah, so it works. Like that. But other than him, you don't see it. Right? And in that scene, you don't see him just being the quiet guy and just doing everything right. That's the others are doing. You know, there might be a few sniggers and a few things like that. You see the gopis, their rasa is completely compressed or like that. They just come, formally come, bring things to eat, serve things very nicely, this, that, that, that. You know, but Mother Rohini, then it's like fully manifest. She's serving, she's taking care of Krishna and the kids and the family, and the gopis are assisting. Understand? So, yes, please.
Just remember, Radharani is laughing when this jokes of Mother Mother is compared to moonlight.
Compared to moonlight?
Yes. Her laughter is when Mother Mother is jokes.
Oh, she would say his laughter.
No, her. When he would make a joke and she would laugh.
That would be like moonlight in the background. Okay. But others would be laughing. It's not just her laughing.
Yeah.
But then that would be, because moonlight is the soothing, cooling, like that. So it would give that flavor, even though the prominence is the... Yes, yeah, so you see, it's all perfectly matched. That's the thing, is because Krishna is rasa, therefore everything has its connection with Krishna in its perfection. So the thing is, since it's about Krishna, it'll be perfectly matched. You don't have to organize it. It doesn't have to be organized in that way. Yoga Maya is orchestrating so that there's all the variety in what will happen. So she creates situations in which now the devotees will react. Right? You change the situation, you change how they act. Or what they do. In other words, the variety comes from the situation. Change the situation, change the taste. Does that make sense? So that's the important thing. So because of that, we're thinking we change the situation, I'll get another taste. But the material world's the same thing. You know, just like Prabhupada says, sugar, anywhere you taste it, it will be sweet. So the material world, anywhere you taste it, it will be miserable. Right? It's just the way it is. It's either you want that, you don't have it, or you had that, you don't have it, or you got that, but now it's in the past. You know, so it's that's the taste. But there's this illusion that no, it will be good, because that's why the point is the illusion. Living entity just said, forget this. It's about Krishna, so whatever I'm doing, just do that in the context of Krishna. These mothers, they're cooking, you know, Krishna, the cowherd boys, and then they're all eating. Like that, there's interaction, there's all the family relationship, everything's there, but it's all centered around Krishna. Right? So, from our perspective, we start from that Vishaya, that, is it? No, not Vishaya, Shamshaya, because it's V and
S.
Vyasti and Samasti, both of them, with V and S. Right? Vyasti and Samasti, that we start from our position, but we know through intelligence that it's Krishna. Right? So that's Vaidhi Bhakti, is that I, through intelligence, I'm doing this for Krishna. Rag Bhakti means I'm doing this for Krishna because that's what I want to do. Oh, I guess I'm a bit slow.
Not exactly.
What is it? Two? Kin two? So then, I have to say like this, and then just say, but.
But it's interesting that Krishna's pastimes are actually, even from, if you want to have materially speaking, okay relationships, you get to follow this.
You have to. It is relationship. Krishna's made it. It's just like, let us say a company makes a product. Unless you follow the rules that the company, how they designed it and made it, it won't work. You can say, oh, I don't need to read the manual, you know, like what is it, what's the saying? You know, how you say, James G., you know, he takes the big fat manual for the car and tosses it up in the air, and anything in front of the car shoots. And so then, you know, it goes to smithereens. And so, you know, like that. But the point is he still, if he wants those guns, he still has to push that button, or he still wants this, he can't change gears and that makes the machine gun work. Or he pushes the button for the machine gun and it makes the gears work. Or, you know, it's exactly the way they manufacture is how you use it. You might use your brain how you put it together. You know, it's just like the toaster thing won't stay down. Sorry about this again. And so you stick a fork in it, you know, so it stays down. But the point is, unless you push that little lever down, it does not toast. Fork.
It means you don't put it into the slot, you put it on the lever.
Oh, yeah, it means the lever goes down, but it doesn't go, so you jam it in there and it holds it in place.
Yeah, definitely don't put the fork in the toaster.
No, that's why I was doing different things.
Unless it's really bad, then you take the, what do you call it? The mitt, the oven mitt.
Yeah.
Like that, because it's quite thick. And then there's that grill in between. And sometimes when you push that down, you can jam it in there. But you have to have something that's not... Or keep the thing unplugged, jam it in there, then plug it in. Then it will stay down and toast. But that's very severe.
You know. Measure.
Yeah, it's very severe measure. But also in the microwave, I think the fork is a really common thing. The door, it doesn't like to stay shut. You know, you get it new, it stays shut, and after a while it won't stay shut, so they jam a fork in there. But it's not electrifies the door. You know, it means the door where it closes and the gap there, you just jam a fork, and then it'll stay closed. And then when it's done, you can take... I mean, you could also, if you had it thin enough or fine, you could use some kind of... It was like a wooden spatula. You know, you just need something that's thin enough that can get in there and jam it in. And then when it's done, then you pull it out and take out what you want to. Maybe I made a mistake here. It's not that what I've said is correct, but maybe these are only bachelor items, bachelor techniques. Oh, only right. Men do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the women would throw the toaster away and get a new one.
Ah, okay. I mean, that is very efficient in the way of you get something that does work nice, but in the man's eyes it would be not efficient since you can still make it work. And until the door falls off.
Right.
I mean, it's like the oven we had over there, the door would stay closed. So we were jamming stuff into it and propping things. And yeah. You know, I call it Jimmy it a bit.
Right.
You know, just... It's beyond the point, or the classic, which is also very efficient, the Russian technique, when a mechanical thing doesn't work, you take something very heavy and start beating it. And amazingly...
You beat it once or twice. Beat it too much.
That's another thing, but I'm saying the whole thing is that by doing that, it's somehow or another, there's gears that are stuck, something, and it loosens them, and it starts working.
That's actually true.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. it's something. I mean, Americans would do that out of frustration that they're trying to destroy it, and then it starts to work, and it's what? The Russians, they know. No, you just whack it a few times. You know, that, you start, and if that doesn't work, then you throw it out.
No, you sell it.
Huh? Or then you
sell it. Or you trade it for something else.
Sell it for scrap.
And when I worked with my brother, he has a big work truck, and we'd have a microwave in it that we would hook up to the generator for lunch. So
okay.
We wouldn't have to go, you know, if we're on a job site that's nowhere near anywhere.
Anywhere to eat, yeah.
So we'd bring our own, but we wouldn't want to heat it up. So eventually, you know, this microwave being in the back of the work truck, you know, got
bounced around, yeah.
And so the front glass bit shattered.
Oh.
And so instead of, you know, saying, okay, well, it's been a nice run.
Yeah,
we screwed a piece of wood to the front of it.
Of course,
still worked. It just took an extra long time, and then we would tell anybody else on the job site, "Yeah, don't go near this thing for the next 6 minutes while we're eating up our soup because
it might blow up."
There's definitely radiation.
Oh, I see. It's radiation. Okay.
And you didn't worry for the soup. Mm-hmm. You didn't worry for the soup.
So you radiated soup.
Radiated.
I mean, essentially, that's what
microwave means.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, but you don't want to play. Because that's why they have that black thing with the holes in it. I think that's the screen that keeps all the radiation.
Oh, really?
That's what we were told anyway. They were probably lying.
It probably is. There's just all these funny little elves that go in there, and they have little blow torches and that, and they heat it up and all that. You know?
Yeah.
That's why you can't.
That's what you were told?
Hmm?
That's what you were told?
from what I mean, some on research papers that I've read, that's actually what's happening. They just tell you this so they feel modern and all that. Because if you talk about elves and all these things like that, then people think you're a bit medieval and all that. So you want to be up to date and modern, so you tell them it's some technological thing like that. So that's why on the phones it was so much difficult, because to be able to work in such a way that you could either find or get the, you know, just with time you get, vertically challenged, you know, elves and all that, and then you collect them, and then when they have children, and then the small ones, you know, it's like dates, you know, you find the ones a little fatter, and then you plant that, and then over the generations you get nice big fat, you know, but Julie dates, you know, like that. So in this way they get small enough elves they can stick in the phones and all that so that they can make them work. No?
Yes, there's so many
elves. Yeah, and it's a big business. So that's why they're putting forth all this, propaganda. You know, I mean, subtle propaganda about the machines taking over. But it is as they're worried that the elves will take over. Because the machines are dead matter. How can they take over? Only spirit can take over. So they're worried about the elves.
I guess okay.
So it means that, like, if you opened up, you know, T-1000 or something like that, opened up its head, there's a little elf sitting inside, you know, running the whole show. You know, so.
Conspiracy.
Yes. Yes?
They asked me, is it possible that in the future, why could you not the machines to run as they want? And she wanted to ask about it, if it was the time.
Yeah, no, because they get, yeah, it's just the elves and so. No, because dead matter doesn't care. Dead matter doesn't care if the machine is on or off. Like, your oven doesn't care if it's turned on, you know, or what temperature it's at, or it's plugged in. It doesn't care. So there's no reason for it to therefore want to take over and get rid of mankind and this and that. But there's no reason. It's dead matter. The rock has been sitting there. You know, Gibraltar has been sitting there for, you know, millions of years, and it's quite happy sitting there. So there's no need to take over.
You know? Ambitions to artificial intelligence.
Yeah, but the point is he's put that, and it can only do as much as he's put. And at some time, you know, things will fall apart, and then unless somebody fixes it, you can say, no, but we'll do everything. You can say these things, but that's like the scientist says will produce life. You can say whatever you like, but reality is different. You know, they say, oh, we'll do all this, and we can program these. But point is even then, they're depending upon themselves. Can the machines do that themselves? Because why does the machine want to run anything? I mean, why does the machine want to be able to look at a picture of, you know, 10,000 people or 100,000 people in a square and identify each one's face and then decide, you know, who's dangerous and not, and where they live and what they ate for lunch? What does the computer care what the guy ate for lunch? You know? Does that make sense? Does it care? It doesn't. It doesn't care at all. So that's the thing, is that these are just projections of ourselves. We as living entities project this on them. It's a ropia. Does that make sense? Just like the same way we project on the spiritual the same problems. We take the mundane conscious and project it on the spiritual. So it's all just projection. It doesn't actually. But if you don't come up with these things, then, you know, I don't know. Hollywood would have closed down a long time ago, right?
The industry would collapse.
Yeah. And so it's just this. Unless they have these things, then what do they go on? I mean, how many things are real? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it's like, yeah. Okay. So far, we got through the first sentence. So in other words, it's the end, it's conclusion, it's dense with meaning. The knowers of truth do not consider that the goal of real dharma is producing material results, artaya. Right? Sense pleasure from enjoying objects is not the goal as long as one lives. So it never is. It's not that it was, it is, will be. The dharma to get material results is not real dharma. That's, you can call it dharma, but it's not real dharma. Real dharma is for bhakti. The goal is not swarga through performance of karmas. Rather, it is inquiring about the truth only, tattva jigyasa. Knowledge of this truth, which is the secondary result of bhakti, is the highest result of karma. Okay, thank you. Haribol, great point. Oh, Haribol, we finished
that too.
That also. Rather, it's inquiring about the truth only. So, inquiring about truth means it's inquiring about Krishna. That's where it then comes in, because the jnana has been connected to Krishna. Now, that activity done by that jnana, jnana karma, that jnana, when you do jnana with knowledge, you perform activity, jnana. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, but you'd have to. It would have to be Saitan Shwarma. Yeah, that is. How do you say it? You say Saitan.
Yeah, different people say it.
Okay.
Maybe
it depends upon how much you appreciate it. If you appreciate it, Saitan. If you don't, it's Saitan. Saitan, because Saitan is the Bengali way that they say the devil. In Bengali, Saitan means the devil.
Same in Russian.
Huh? Same in Russian.
Saitan. Well, in English, it's Satan.
Yeah, but I'm sure the British picked it up from this side.
Sorry, Saitan.
Yeah. So then, you know.
Arabic. It comes from them. Shaitan.
Oh, okay, so it's Arabic. So then, because they've been in Bengali, and when the British came, they picked it up that way. Okay.
How conscious when people distribute book, the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, the people usually think it's about...
Chaitanya.
Oh, Chaitanya, yes. Chaitanya called. Oh, you have to explain that that's not that. That's funny. That would be a problem.
Yes.
An inherent problem. Okay. So knowledge of this truth, which is a secondary result of bhakti. In other words, the knowledge of Krishna, that's a secondary result of bhakti. The primary is the attraction to Krishna. Rati is the primary. And that turns matures into prema. So prema is the actual result of bhakti. Because also, see, is that we use bhakti and prema as synonyms. Right? In one sense, they are, because by practicing bhakti, it matures into prema. But prema is its actual natural level. Bhakti is the level of those, you know, who are sadhakas for prema. That desire to attain prema, and therefore to practice that and just, you know, inquire into that knowledge and apply that through those recommended activities to please Krishna, that's called bhakti. Does that make sense? But actually the result of that in the mature stage is prema. Once you're on the platform of prema, it's just prema. You're not trying to get there, you're already there. Does that make sense?
I like that it's pointed out that it's the highest result of karma, but it's just a secondary human property.
Yeah, yeah.
So like the very best you can come up with following one path is just something that you automatically get following.
Yes, exactly.
Trying.
Yes, that's the thing, without trying. Yes.
As you, Swami, gives this analogy in Bhaktivinoda, he sees this description of the clash of needs, the first characteristics of pure devotion, so it destroys all the suffering.
Right.
But the analogy is given just like when the fire can burn unlimited amount of pool. Right. And then Jim Goswami says, well, the hint here is that you don't burn fire just to
burn wood.
That's this. You actually want to cook something. And secondary result is that you burn wood. So the same way, that this is very secondary result of bhakti that destroys sin. Actually the result is prema.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's nice. Very nice. Yeah. Because when this is appreciated, then from there you look at anything, it will start to make, it'll have its actual context. These that we're doing, it'll be close to. But the point is, because it's in pursuance of, therefore it's given the same context. It's given the same context as Baladev Vidyabhushan's point. Is that because it's in pursuance of bhakti, it's counted as good as bhakti, because with time it will produce that bhakti, which will produce prema. But at the same time, as then you see, it can be distinguished, the levels of what you're doing, so that no one becomes proud. Right? Because that pride is an important thing, because we see even those gopis on those very advanced levels of devotional service, then it wasn't up to the standard. And so Krishna wasn't pleased. So only when that ego goes, that it's about themselves, because what was it? It was about themselves. You could say, oh, you have to get rid of ego, then what about, pastimes, you see the gopis, that the pride of youth, because it's just for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. When that kind of pride is then directed at Krishna, and then, that is attractive to Krishna. Is it him? Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. Because, see, is that, what's the idea? If Krishna is going to taste conjugal rasa, then there has to be an attraction to those individuals in which that rasa can be exchanged. You know what I'm saying? So, you have the aspect of just the girls available, that doesn't really generate it. The girl is there, and the girl's not there, it also doesn't generate it. But the girl's there, but not available, that generates it. But not available means she technically is available, but she is putting up the mood that she's not. Does that make sense? So it's all these contradictions all there in one place. So that pride is simply being done for Krishna's pleasure. But we see those gopis in the rasa dance, they were proud for themselves, and look at my position. Therefore Krishna left. It wasn't about Krishna. It was in context of Krishna, but that's good for Mathura or Dwarka. It's not enough for Braj. Braj means it's just about Krishna. Because he says, as you deal, he reciprocates. Okay? So Kubja has an attraction to Krishna, but for her own pleasure. But it's to Krishna. So Krishna does, he goes to visit her place and, has a nice conversation, like that. But that's it. And he goes. Because that's all the farther that you can reciprocate. Queens is farther, right? 50-50. But the point is the intensity means full. So he wants to fully be absorbed. So that means they have to be fully absorbed in him. Unless it's 100% about him, how can he make it 100% about the devotee? You make it 2% about him, he'll make it 2% about you. So the gopis is then it's 100%, 100%. That makes sense.
So, this was Sarvadharma Paritija, actually. You can take it all the way to this.
Yes. He's, because it's a conclusion, it goes all the way through. There's nothing that doesn't, it's not, these main principles, they're universal. They apply in any level. But as they go, they get more and more refined, more and more subtle, you know, more and more full, like that. So those principles always apply. And then you have detail, that's for a particular situation, like we said, yoga maya or mahamaya, they only create situations. Right? You know, you say, oh, I've done this, I'll get good result, but the result means the situation. A stack of money sitting there is a situation. That makes sense? That's what it is. Then what you do with that, that's then the activity that produces the future result. Now that big pile of money is there, you take that and invest it, then what will be the result? You have a bigger pile of money. Right?
But technically the result should be enhancing the relationship.
But that's the point, is relationship just means with Krishna. We talk about relationships here, but as Prabhupada pointed out, it's all in the context of, on the material platform, the relationships are according to what, how you see you'll get benefit. That's what it is. It may be in the mode of goodness and its duties, and it's very elevated in that way, but still, ultimately, it's still about yourself. I like to function in this very, you know, high-grade, you know, Brahminical, religious environment, you know, that doesn't have all this passion and ignorance and all that, and this person or these other persons then afford that. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like the swans are on the lake because they like lakes. You know, if the lake said, well, actually, I'm a pumpkin, you know, then, you know, that's identified, then the swans would go somewhere else. Huh? Yeah, I'm not sure if it would the swans hang out with Charlie Brown?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, generally swans aren't into, you know, waiting for the great pumpkin to come flying through the air. No, so they would go somewhere else. Go find another lake that, you know, is cool being a lake. No. Don't catch any of those references.
Okay. Huh? The swan on the lake part.
You got that part. Yes.
Four
of mode of goodness.
For duties. For performing duties.
Yes, yes, they do.
Means like, for example, we enjoy our food.
Yeah, yeah, like that. I mean, anyone's doing what they're doing, how do they keep doing it? Because there's a taste there. Even if it's a negative taste, like, you know, it's just like, let's say, I can remember, you know, adults sitting around when I was a kid talking about the rat race. You have the rat race? You don't have the rat race? Huh? What do you call it? Same rats also? Okay. Means it's just, you know, the rat race, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's tough, it's this and that. They get a taste out of its mode of ignorance. So that's the thing. That kind of mentality comes stemming from ignorance. And so, yeah, it's the way it is, it's tough and that. And then it even gets into the whose situation is tougher. You feel superior because my situation is worse. My mortgage is bigger.
I suffer more.
Yeah, I suffer more. I have a bigger family. I have more responsibility. I have more yelling and screaming kids than you do. You know, one of them's a Judy, you know, like that. You know, so I'm suffering more. Like that. And so then there's a taste. That's what that, it's just, so mode of goodness is the better one because at least it's uplifting. The passion, ignorance aren't uplifting. They take you down. That's why even you see like Kshatriya is the mode of passion. But in the beginning of their life, then they study, you know, like that, and live like Brahmins. You know, like that. And then at 50, they they go to the forest and live like Brahmas. So only in the middle they have, you know, of their life, I mean technically 25 years, then they can be the mode of passion. But the other 75, they're supposed to be in goodness. You know what I'm saying? So same. The grihasthas and that, same thing. You know, they're supposed to step back a bit. Maybe they can't as much. You know, the vaishyas. They have to step back a bit. You know, before they get training, but they're inspired that this training is so that I can be a good grihastha. Or the kshatriya is that I'll be able to manage the country properly. Right? You know. And so then they go out of it. So they do that, but now it's like they can sit back and enjoy because the kids are running the business. And so far they don't see anything going wrong. Not that they're watching every movement. You know? But the point is they can relax a bit. It'll be some mix. Because it's never pure, on the material platform, there's never pure goodness. So you don't have to worry that pure goodness means bhakti. So if you're doing for devotion to please Krishna, that is on the platform of pure bhakti. It means a pure goodness. And then within our duties, whatever it is, that's why for devotees, it doesn't matter what their duties are, what modes they're controlled by. They're doing it in pure goodness. So they're getting the result of the beyond the Brahman, the perfect Brahman, the Vaishnava. So that's why in the Vedic, it doesn't matter what it is. The Vedic only, for us, for many, the whole Vedic system that they use the Varnashram is for prestige. You know, because they're the Brahmins or the Kshatriyas or the Vaishyas or, you know, Shri. You know, it's always, you're above somebody. Yes?
It's funny that Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sri Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he says, just in the beginning, second chapter, I think, he said that the requirements to enter the Grihastha Ashram. And when you ask devotees, they always say, be good devotee, this, that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he has, for a man, has to be healthy and know how to maintain his family. That's the requirement.
Yeah, that's the requirement.
He doesn't even mention devotional and anything, because he speaks about ashram in the sense that he has to be responsible and he has to be healthy for the kids.
Yeah.
Wasn't it also that he has to know how to associate with women?
No, he doesn't say that.
I can't remember that.
Maybe it was in another place.
Maybe it's later, yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes you have to put the things together for the one angle. But that's the basic thing. Yes, to know how to do it.
They have those two natures.
Yeah.
No, but it's funny that devotees, when they don't read the study guide, that's one of the questions. They always say that yes, to be good devotee, do that.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
Because it is important to be a good devotee. I mean,
yeah, well, that's because for what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about is the mechanics of making the system work.
He speaks about Varnashram. He speaks about Varnashram.
Yes.
That's the
so the devotional, the Varnashram system will work because of that. And then, but the we're using it as a secondary aspect. You know. We're using it as a secondary, as a support for bhakti. Means the devotee is body, mind, and words is fully engaged in Krishna's service. Right? So that's what we're trying to attain. Now, this service to Krishna then means you're going to have to engage, you know, the physical, mental, and intellectual platform in Krishna's service. So since we're not functioning in our spiritual body, right? To use that particular, you know, combination, we're functioning in our material body, the covering. And that covering then has a nature. We have a particular physique, we have a particular intellect, and we have a particular mind, like that. So that's then what we're engaging in Krishna's service. So for us, Varnashram describes what is the nature and therefore what service is to do. Because it doesn't matter The point is to be, what the services are, is to be fully engaged in Krishna's service. That's the important aspect. So if that is there, then we, it's perfect, whatever anybody is. That's why, if what is your nature, that's what you should do, because otherwise it won't be efficient. You can't engage body, mind, and words if it's not your nature, if it's not your duty. You can say, I can do it, but that means I can mechanically do the things. But the mentality that goes with that, and the mood and all that. Like, I remember organizing things for the elephant session. You know, back when you have, you know, 120 kids, and you're getting everybody in line, and who's there, and there's like 5 million little kids, you know, holding the plates, and they're all going off, and they're all, they've got lamps in them, you know, and they're turning around, you know, hey, like this, and you know, somebody's chudders there, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, and so you have to get all that organized. And I mean, I could do it, because I know what you're supposed to do and all that, but I noticed that, I mean, I didn't notice at first, that I was always, you know, in anxiety. And that, you know, and doing that for years, until one of the bigger boys, then he would manage it. You know? He was like, how you say, cool as a cucumber, right? He'd just come in and this, that, and that, hey, don't do like this, go around, walk around, completely peaceful, and much more efficient. And then after that, when we start chanting the mantras and all of that, he's right there chanting the mantras. Well, I'd be thinking, wow, this guy this, and that guy that, and you know, while you're chanting the mantras, but he wouldn't be. So, you can see that's why you do your service. So, there was a need, it's emergency I did, but as soon as he could do, it's actually his service, not my service, because I can't do it where body, mind, and words are fully nicely engaged. Well, he could. So you can say, yes, I can mechanically do whatever anybody else can do, but that doesn't mean that you actually are fully engaged. That's the difference. Who's fully engaged by doing this service? That's the service they should do. So it's not about prestige. It's facility. It's about full engagement. So for the devotee, Varnashram is only from the angle of the full engagement in the Lord's service. And so they don't care who's above, who's below, whose side, who's this and that. What they're getting, I'm getting more, he's getting more. No, it's about I'm fully engaged in Krishna's service. That's the honest, that's the real understanding, that's the honest understanding. So it's secondary. But this thing, using the modern, where it's all about prestige and position and authority, then it's based on how much I can control, how much I can enjoy. So you can see it's immediately based on I'm the controller and enjoyer, and on the position of the body. Because, you know, I'm in a better position, it's more prestigious, I'm more prestigious. Well, the other one is, no, I'm the soul, I'm simply serving Krishna, so whatever position I serve. So you see in the devotees' pastimes, you have these devotees that are pure devotees, but taking these very junior positions. And there'll be others who are more materialistic or not even devotees who are senior. Because it's just what you do, like Sanatana Goswami and the Brahmins, when the king walks in, when he walks in, they all stand up and respect him. And they say, you know, like this and that. And he said, you're the king, you're representing God, so therefore in this capacity then we have to respect you. And here you're having an eternal associate of the Lord, 30 other qualified Brahmins that this associate of the Lord would consider worth, you know, spending close time with, and then you have this basically, at least in the past, a Malecha and Yavra. But they're respecting him because of that position, because that's just how you play your role. So they don't have any worry about it. They're not saying, well, you're just a militia and we're devotees and like that. And, you know, I'm not saying, well, without me, the prime minister, you wouldn't be able to do anything. You know, they're not doing any of that kind of stuff. So it's not about that. So as soon as we allow that to come in, it becomes contaminated, and then it's actually cheating. And then because everybody wants the top, therefore nobody, and you mentioned the whole thing, so therefore then you say, we don't care about Varnashram, we're devotees, or, you know, something like that, or, you know, we use those things like there, because we're seeing it as prestige. We're not seeing it, and therefore, how I can control and enjoy, rather than No, this is secondary facilities to be fully engaged in Krishna's service. So that's what it's talking about here. Is this karma, the highest result of karma is therefore being engaged in bhakti. Knowledge of this truth means knowledge of the absolute in the context of bhakti. That's the highest knowledge, and this is the highest result of karma. You know, so that's the whole point. But these are secondary compared to bhakti, because bhakti will produce prema, while these things can only produce a certain understanding or a certain physical result. You know, a change in the environment by karma. Karma only changes environment. It doesn't do anything else. It gives you no knowledge. It gives you no happiness. We project that this is knowledge and this is happiness. It doesn't. It just changes the environment. You play with it. You pick up a potato. You do anything that will transform the potato. It's still going to be a potato. But it's still just a situation of potato. Nothing else. So that means in those times before when they would have that person say, oh, well, this is happening, that's happening, and all these things like that. And they're trying to get this one other person, he'd just go, potato. No. Suddenly just, that was his line. No, you know, everyone thought it was funny. But actually, it was very deep knowledge that it's not. The situation is still just the same. You've just transformed it, but it's still only the external environment. Right? So it's just it's that element of sat, its existence. That's all you can change. Right? Jnana seemingly is dealing with knowledge, but it's only adjusting what things you're understanding and seeing, and therefore how you're going to work with the situation. So it's still looking, going down. That's why then even they get liberated, they come back down. Well, when you see it, the situation connected to Krishna, the knowledge connected to Krishna, that's progressive. Therefore, it goes forward. Riki. Having concluded that one shouldn't make sense gratification as a goal, but should inquire about the absolute truth, the next Anucheda describes the nature of this truth and the process of realizing it. Anucheda 7. What is that knowledge of truth? Tattva-jnana. One verse illustrates this, right? So it says that karma, you have to move up. Karma you can't take as the goal. It's a secondary activity. It gives secondary results that can be useful in bhakti, but it's not. So, and that only has meaning if it's connected with this tattva-jnana. Right? So now, then the next question is, so what is this tattva-jnana? Right? So we see is, even though he's explaining from the descending process, he's bringing that descending process down to where we are, and then takes us up, and so that we can ascend up, but it's through descending knowledge. He never uses ascending knowledge. It doesn't start from us. It starts from the absolute, comes down to our position no matter where it is, and then gradually takes us step by step towards Krishna. So it's like you throw a rope to somebody. You know? It's like, I'll jump down in the well and then I'll push him from the bottom. No, you throw a rope. They grab it. Then the rope goes all the way down to them. Right? So this idea, oh, it's descending, it's just theory. No, the rope got to them. You just throw it over the edge and it doesn't get to them, so it'll grab the rope. You know? Then that's not... You know, it has to get to them. Once it gets to them, then you pull the rope and they hold on.
So that when we're trying to help someone out, we have to know what level they're on, so we know how much rope to give. Because otherwise, if we just give basically what we're familiar with, it might have been a different level, then it's not actually helping.
Yes. Or it's the other... I say aphorism, give them enough rope to hang themselves. Yeah, so that's why if you're too lenient, they'll hang themselves.
Yeah.
You're too strict, that you won't connect. They won't progress. They won't see the connection and have it move forward. Go ahead.
Another way to say it is you can't give someone directions if you don't know where they're coming from.
Yes. That's why you see certain devotees then they do very well in certain areas. Either a certain, I'll say, regional area that has a general mentality, or a particular strata in society, or a particular activity in society. But there's mentalities, and so some devotees work really well there. And they do there, they'll get excellent results. Put them in another one. Of course, they're speaking the absolute truth, but they may not be able to get everything across. So that's the idea, is that you preach where it works for you. And if it's not available, then you preach whatever's available. But if you had the choice, there's a few places that you could go, you go to the ones where you get the effect, because you only have a certain amount of time. So you want to get the maximum effect in the shortest amount of time. That's like double the effect for half the work. Right? So you want to go to that spot. So, does that make sense? Like you see, there's just like, let's say, an educational circle. Some dealing with kids, they do excellent. I've seen some that deal with all the small kids, like the grade schoolers, primary education. They go there, the kids love it, the schools love it. I went to one school, was invited to one of those programs, a devotee. They would have, an India Day. So in the school, everyone dressed up in saris and dhotis and everything like that, and ate Indian food and, did Indian music and all this. This is from this devotee. So, what they were doing, they were taking prasad, they were doing kirtan, but all the teachers would be in saris. It was a whole thing. Because she was so good with the kids, and then people in there, I see others, then they work with the teenagers, like the secondary school and stuff like that. And they do excellent like that. Like Whoopi Goldberg. She does excellent in that area. Like that. Krishna consciousness may be weak, but it's just the example. Then you see those who do well in the university level. And then they can catch those people and all that. And then there's those who work above that, like the professors and all that, the postgraduate level. And some can work at all levels, but some can only work at a particular level. But the point is they get good results, work there. Does that make sense? So that's the idea, is that the whole idea of the Varnashram is that what level they're at. So then, like you're saying, is that you have to know where they're at, therefore then you can extend a rope that long. But the point is just because it went that long, it's not that you don't pull, they just have to climb up. You throw the rope down there and then they have to pull themselves up. No, it's you're pulling also. So that means the rope's getting shorter, because their distance is getting shorter. So what they did yesterday might not be progressive today. So this whole thing, you give a blanket, lack of progression and say that that's progressive, that's a misunderstanding of the mechanics of what's happening. Does that make sense? Someone's trying to be liberal and say, you don't have to, dress like we dress or, do what we do. That's great in the beginning, because the person doesn't know. And he's living his lifestyle. No, whatever you're eating, offer it to Krishna. Right? Thank God for it, whatever it is. But then with time, they start associating, and they say, God doesn't eat certain things. And so then they start adjusting, like that. And then the dress, and they want to kind of dress like the devotees. Like I've seen some people, they're there in their suit and all that going to the office, but they have a wool cheddar on their shoulder. It's just if they feel I'm doing something with the devotee, I have to go to the office, but the cheddar, I'm a devotee. And so it just progresses. But as they progress, if you say, you don't have to worry about that, we're not fanatic, then the person who's giving this advice has no kindness for the living entities, because they don't allow them to progress. They keep them on this lower level. You don't have to walk up the stairs to get through the door. On your step is fine. Just sit down there, go for it. So it's not real, what do you call it? Kindness. So that point is that you have to know where the person is, and so you take it as far as they do. You're dealing with intellectuals, you'll give them more of a logical and those kind of things like that. You give them more sentimental, you get more into those things. you know, it's just whatever works. Like you see some very good with like the stories, they can tell all the stories everyone loves, things like that. But then, you know, it's just, it's whatever works. Like I've seen that, what was that? That Maharaj from Jammu? Navi Yogendra Maharaj. Like he's from a Kashmiri Brahmin family. You know, I agree like that. And, you know, it's a very subtle, very simple and all that. And I remember seeing, just like sometimes you go to these, like at Kumbh Mela, you go to these tents, huge tents, you know, tens of thousands of people, and they're keeping them engaged. Well, our tent was generally not as busy. But you put him on the stage, give him a harmonia, and he doesn't sit, he stands. You know, you put the harmonia on the table, and he starts telling stories. And in between, he intersperses some philosophy, and as soon as he notices he's losing the attention, he starts a kirtan. And then everybody wakes up, clapping their hands, and then once at that, he ends at that, and then continues with the story, or makes a point, and he could keep people busy for hours. Like that. The same people that we can't get to sit down for 10 minutes, he's got them there for hours. He knows how to deal with that crowd. You know, but you put him in another scenario, he may not be as expert. Like when he gives Bhagavatam class, generally there's not a lot of devotees there. But you put him in these other scenarios like that, he can hold a crowd that, you know, very few people can do. These are those who can, I'm just saying it's very few. So that's the idea, is that because he knows where they're at, so he gets right to, he delivers it right to them. And so it works. That's the point. Yes.
If we have in the past we have an audience of different levels. For example, one are beginners and they don't interest in philosophy very much. They just they always discuss it. And other part is very focused on already practitioners. They're very interested. To whom?
Who do we talk to?
Should be oriented in class.
Okay, well, I mean, the modern approach is whoever's the lowest is who you talk for. And that's why, personally, I never was inspired by the modern educational system. So, but the Vedic is, now the thing is why are they approaching it this way? Because they're looking at it, because the people in the field, then they're knowledgeable or experts. Right? So when they teach, if you're an expert, you can only teach to an expert. Someone who doesn't is the potential of an expert. Someone who doesn't have the potential of an expert actually cannot teach them. That's like you can write that in stone. Right? Someone with a little bit of knowledge, because they only have a little bit, they're not so far, they can generally do a little bit better. But the expert, but they can't teach someone who has that potential to be an expert. They'll get them through that, and then that, they can't teach them anymore. The expert can teach someone else who has the potential for an expert. Right? So therefore, you're going to have those who just go for the top, leave the bottom, they all drop out, or those who go for the bottom and the top drops out. Right? So the Vedic approach, because why I'm saying this is because in the modern, you don't really have this level that I'm talking about. Someone who's a master at it, they understand what makes them a master. They understand the principle on which it works. So in that principle being applied, that's science. So they understand the principle. Principle you can explain to a 3-year-old. Right? Not much detail, but the principle you can explain to anybody. So you explain the principle. And it's because the principle is always valid. It's valid for the person who doesn't know much and the person who does know much. It will keep them both. Means for the person who doesn't know, it gives them, they can actually grasp what you're talking about. And for the person who knows so much, you're getting down to the essence. Now they take all the detail they know and put it all together, so they're inspired. Does that make sense? So by doing that, you can make it work. And then you throw out examples that you see. You have to take the combined flavor that's there, and then you basically deal with that. Now and again, you can do something that'll be more general than that. You know, they'll capture a particular group or some other group, or so your example can move through. Does that make sense? Sorry?
It's very painful.
Yes, but that's what you're trying to aim for. That's why the Course is written in that way, so even we don't know, it's written into here. That's the thing, is how much, like, it's like we're having these conversations, and what is comes up is that this is a very, you know, good approach in that, or someone gives a nice reference, then those things are noted, and then, you know, in the future they're included, because you want the people to use it to be able to do. The idea is that the teacher has the maximum amount of tools available, and if one thing catches, then it goes. He's like, here, this Apavarga, through that we've explained something that he's going to emphasize later, because we started with karma, but it'll be done later. So at least at some point you get there. So, yeah. Like we, those, I don't know, those that when we were teaching the, start with the Gita course, we were actually teaching it from the perspective of the second canto. You know, with all the Sankarshan Pujumnadi rhythm, like this. And then you know, because I'm thinking, you know, this is, you know, we're trying to get this across and all this, and that's deeper. And after so many years, when we got the second canto, then you know, in the second canto at the end, you had the Chaturvyuha and the Chaturshlokis, like that. So I think, okay, like that. So the first part, then we're really getting into the technical things, and I thought, okay, you know, this is taking so long. I was thinking, wow, when we get to the end, the chapter on Chaturshloki, this is going to take forever. Right? When we got there, it was the quickest chapter we went through because everybody already understood it. Yes. But if we had just studied that or just didn't emphasize that through, we would have spent the same amount of time on that chapter. You know, we would have spent 6 months on that chapter or something. But because we spent so much time on all the others, and it was prepared when we got there, then you could see it in this context, and oh, okay, that makes sense. So we went through amazingly quick. It's just like you're reading the purports, there's no comments, everyone's just going, no questions. And I think, oh, okay. So that's the thing. If those principles are given, then you can relate it at all levels. Because everything's based on those principles. You know, like Lord Chaitanya said, everything is sambandha amitaya and prayojana. Right? And what's that prayojana? Love of God. Right? What's the sambandha? We're servant of God, eternal part and parcel. What's the abideya? That is devotional service. Using your intelligence, your senses in the Lord's service. When we say engaging your senses in the Lord's service, senses work by intelligence. Because they have to tell the difference between things and the similarity. So intelligence is actually the lord of the mechanics of the senses. Without intelligence, it can't work. But the mind is the lord of the senses because it decides what the senses will be involved in. Like that. So that way then, you know, and what you're going to generally trumps. So that's where you see people do things that are stupid. Because the mind is controlling and they're not using the intelligence. So that means that. So that knowledge and all that, it has to be there. So people focus on knowledge meaning, oh, the practical things of being professional. But it's actually, you know, the knowledge of your relationship with the Lord. Secondary is understanding the skills so you can use it nicely for Krishna. Because why know it nicely unless you can use it for Krishna? If it's just nicely knowing because I have this, because I'm a professional. Right? People are going to join this movement because somebody is a doctor, right? He's a professional. He lets everyone know. So that's, oh, I want to join this movement. They've got a doctor. It's kind of like, who are you kidding? You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's like that. Or, you know, he's some other professional. He's a corporate. Oh, I want to join that because, no. You know? So you join because of their devotional commitment. These people are convinced. Their conviction, that's why you join. There's other things, who cares? Yes?
But if the universe is so
huge,
then the force of the parents to come to classes, but they prefer fascism and other ideas.
That's why God made coloring books. Huh?
Bigger
than that. But just they have to also learn etiquette. You know, you have to sit there. I mean, I'm surprised that when I was a kid, you go out with your parents anywhere, you didn't talk. You just sat there. You stood next to them. You stand. You don't say anything. You don't run around. You don't yell, scream.
It was when the dinosaurs were.
Sorry?
It happened when the dinosaurs were.
Yeah, I guess maybe after that. Yeah, after that there was a lot of clouds and there wasn't much sun. So maybe, yeah. But I mean, it's just like that. This the new thing where kids just run around, do whatever they want because parents and couldn't care less and have no idea how to take care of the kids. It's just, you have to explain because these things should be been explained since they're small. Because, I mean, since I was 5, I was doing that. I mean, I was aware of that. 5, 6, you're doing that. You know, and this is, we're talking about going out to the opera or something. It's like, you know, what does the opera mean to me? But my parents are in it, so we're going. You know? So there you are in your suit and everything and your funny shiny shoes. And you're there at the opera. You know, I don't understand anything about it, but I'm there and I'm quiet. And so then with time, then you start to appreciate it. Does that make sense? So it's been explained. You know, at the time, yes, you're reminding them, but that means that other times you're explaining what's the importance of it and why you do all these things. So that's why parents are also guru, because they're teaching you. They're not guru because they simply feed you. That makes them a parent, a father, a mother. Right? But that they teach you, that's why they're called guru. So these, are they guru? Because guru also means heavy. You know, oh no, can't be heavy, you know, things like this. So then say that, you know, the lagus. We should have lagus, you know. The white guru, that's an old thing, you know, being heavy. We should be lagus, you know, be light. Like that, and, you know, just will-o'-the-wisp. And as anybody, well, you know, what about this? I don't like this. Oh, you don't have to like that. You know, it's all right, and all this. But I like to do this, and all that. Oh, yes, it's all right. You can do all those things. And, you know, we can do that. We'd be, you know, be the logo. You know, isn't that what Lord Chaitanya said? You know, everyone should be lagu. You know, whoever they see, whoever they meet, they should just smile and say, you know, how are you today? And in this way, then be pleasant to the whole world. Right? Wasn't that the Chaitanya Charitamrita sloka, something like that? Did I miss any point?
Extra sloka.
Huh?
That's an extra sloka. Extra sloka.
Oh, that's okay. That's the hidden meaning.
Brahmanda Bhavita Kamkari Lagu.
Yes. It's the lightness, you know. You know, so it's like that. That's also then, you know, the salads, you know, light, you know, and stuff like that. Huh?
Yeah, the
you do the best you can, that's all. And you can even explain why it's done, but explain from the point of so that they're educated. Because if you explain from the point of, you know, they shouldn't behave like this and they should be, you know, like this and that, means you should know this very well, you know, is the saying, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Right? So in other words, if the kid's crazy, there's a good chance the parents are crazy. Just they're a little older, so they appear more. They can put on a veneer of being less crazy. So that's why if you come down strong on the parents, then they're no different than the kid. And so just as the kid doesn't appreciate telling them what to do, the parents don't want to be told what to do. So they don't want to be told what to do. They want to be independent, but they don't have the culture to work with others. Hence, Varnashram doesn't work in our society because no one has the qualifications or the character to follow it. Because Varnashram is for humans. It's based on the mode of goodness. If you're from the mode of passion and ignorance and you're a lecture and yavana and hence an animal, then Varnashram doesn't make any sense. It's like an apple to a dog. Dog doesn't appreciate an apple. You know? I mean, what fruit can you put in a Waldorf salad? Right? or any salad. You can put an apple. Very few could go in there, right? So you should at least appreciate the universal use of an apple. But no, he doesn't. You ever see dogs hanging out under the apple trees and stuff? Right? Oh, it's super hot in the place. There's nowhere else to sit. But they're not sniffing around there. You know? You see cows out there. They'll be under the apple tree. Right? Because they're in the mode of goodness. So that's right. So, like this, then you have to explain, just like we're saying, to the kids, you have to explain what's the benefits. What if you do like this, this is what you get from it, and all this, and so many things. Then they start to see. And in this way, then it starts to make sense to them. You know? And then next time you'll see it'll be a little less. Because also, some parents, they would like to, but don't have any tools. They don't know. They never learned. And so they don't know what to do. So if you educate them, then it'll make it easier for them. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada.